to go. Taco to
and a big queue.
Taco to go.
Taco to go. Trip Taco just $2.99. Comes with a big Q, this deal so fine. Brisket breakfast, so much to choose for $2.99. You really can't lose.
Taco to go, taco to.
This deal legit.
Taco to go, taco.
Only at Quick Trip.
Taco to go, taco to go, taco to go.
$2.99.
Time to talk to our guy, Ben Maller of Fox Sports Radio, as we do every Thursday at this time. And, of course, you can catch him overnights right here on 96.5 The Fan. It's all brought to you by The Landing and Liberty. And, Ben, I mean, what we watched last night, great theater is the only way I can describe what we watched last night with the Knicks and Pacers. What an incredible comeback or an incredible choke job, depending on what side you're on.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was awesome to see. I had it on, and usually you have these games on. It's great to be on with you guys again, but you have these games on. You're like, well, team's up by 14. And every broadcaster, they always say, well, it could be a comeback. And 99.999% of the time, it's total nonsense. There's never a comeback. And that was the 0.0000001% that happened. And the math on that, they went back, they said, since 1998, that is the first time ever a team has blown that big a lead in the final minute, the New York Knicks last night. And then to see, I know you might have some Knick blood there, Bob, but to see all the fans at the Garden doing the surrender cobra, where they've got their hands behind their head in shock, was stunning. And then the Knicks really lost the game twice, because not only did they lose, they thought they lost it on the Halliburton three-point shot, which bounced, like hit the roof at the Garden and then went through. And then in overtime, they lost again. They managed to lose the game twice. That should be two losses. They should be down 0-2 in the series. And I have no skin in the game. I have family from New York. I don't really know anybody in Indiana. I just like the way the Pacers play. I just like, they don't play any defense. I like the way they approach the game. They don't give up. And I've watched so many playoff games where teams get behind, they just quit. They don't admit it, but they just give up. And the Pacers, to the credit of Rick Carlisle and Halliburton and those guys, they fight you to the very end. And it was beautiful to watch.
You know, and they're lucky they ended up winning that game, because that, you know, premature choke signal that we saw at the end of regulation could have gone down in lore as like, oh boy, the Pacers lost it on this. And now I look at it, I go, boy, I don't know, man. The Knicks are going to have a tough time overcoming that loss.
Yeah. Well, and I got to say, Bob, I don't know how you feel and Dusty, but Halliburton's like, I didn't plan that out. I'll bet you $1,000 he had in the back of his head going into that game, and certainly going into that play, if I make this shot, I am going to do the Reggie Miller thing. With Reggie sitting courtside doing TV for TNT, he claimed he didn't plan that out. I think that's not. It's like when the play-by-play guy has the game-winning call already on a card waiting for the team to win, and then just reads the card. It's the same deal. And then how about Halliburton at the end? He went back to try to win the game. Like, he could have taken a two-point shot and tied it regular. He went all the way back to try to win the game, and he still messed it up, even though he made the shot, because he didn't have his foot behind the line. So the whole thing was just tremendous. It was something we'll talk about for some time, and it's good, because most of the games that I've watched are not very memorable. That was one. That was one of the great games. It reminds me, not the same ending, but remember the LeBron when he was in Cleveland, and he had that wild playoff game against the Pistons where he just went nuts in the fourth quarter overtime, where I still remember it in my head all these years later. I'll remember that game going forward. It was beautiful.
Yeah, Ben, to give you the stat of what that number was that you referenced in this game of, you know, 99.999%, NBA teams were 0-970 in the playoffs over the last 27 years when trailing by 14 or more points with under 250 left in regulation. Last night made it 1-970. Like you guys said, perfect theater, but I think last night's game was great, but terrible for tonight's game, because nobody's going to get that versus Oklahoma City and Memphis, and I'll take 6 more of what I saw last night and 0 more of what I've seen the night before and what I'll probably see tonight.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. I mean, it's boredom incarnate. Well, that game was just painful. it was humdrum. It's like, you need some juice. There's got to be something there. And it was just, you didn't have high expectations for Oklahoma City and Minnesota, but game one was dependably boring. It lived up to expectations and all that. And I don't know. I mean, I'll watch tonight. Obviously, I got the show to do afterwards, so I'll be watching. But it's just seems lifeless. Like Minnesota does not. They turn the ball over too much, and Oklahoma's just not. There's stars. There's the MVP, but it's just something missing. It's just unremarkable. And hopefully, it'll be better tonight. It can't be much worse than it was in Game One of that particular series. But yeah, but I'm counting down to Friday night to watch game two of the Pacers and the Knicks and to see if the Knicks can come back and win. If they somehow screw this up on Friday night, the Knicks, oh my goodness, the natives will be restless for sure.
Talking with Ben Maller of Fox Sports Radio, and from the NBA to the NFL and the biggest discussion we've seen in years, owners fighting with each other, former players coming in, lewd jokes over this tush-push thing. I mean, we got all the goodness coming out of this tush-push thing. I'm glad the owners voted not to ban the tush-push.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I agree. I'm still bothered. Baseball kind of banned the shift. I think that's annoying. That's a weak way to go about it in baseball. And it would have been the same thing in the NFL. And as much as I would not want to be in a room with a guy doing an hour filibuster like the Eagles owner, Jeffrey Lurie, apparently did, where other owners were like basically telling him to stop and all that, all those blowhards in a room. That being said, I agree with this point that would have been a win-win for the Eagles, because if they had gotten rid of that play, it would have been akin to back when the NBA got rid, or college basketball got rid of the slam dunk back in the day, because they said it was they used the same language, similar language to what the NFL tried to use to get rid of the tush push. And rather than try to get rid of it, just have your team run it. Like, if you have a problem, just have your team run it. If everyone's doing it, it's a level playing field. So I thought the whole thing was wonderful to hear about the different stories that got out, and that the Eagles owner was upset because of some social media stories claiming that the play was going to be banned, and that's why he was like a volcano exploding with lava everywhere in the whole thing. So it was great, and they didn't do it, and they didn't change the playoff seating. So a win-win for the league meetings there in Minnesota.
The other big story was the fact that Jason Kelce was called from the bullpen in the seventh inning to come in and kind of put the fire out, as you would say, for the tush push. Are we going to see more of that? Like, find a celebrity or slash like big name of your franchise, whether they're in the now or in the past, because it reminded me of whenever Liv and PGA were kind of going at it, and the PGA was like calling the special force, and here comes Tiger Woods landing from a helicopter to come in and kind of settle the smoke. Jason Kelce is the closer yesterday that apparently, I don't know what you think, but maybe might have gotten the closing sentiment in that meeting.
So is he on retainer? He's still getting a check from the Eagles, right? He's like an advisor or something. Even though he's on TV,
lifetime.
You know, he's got the ambassador role because he dressed up as a murmur thing or whatever, the parade there in Philadelphia. So, yeah, I mean, it's great. You've met some of these guys over the years, Dusty and Bob. I mean, these guys, these aristocrats that own these teams, they are into the whole, like, celebrity element and all that stuff. Jerry Jones is legendary. Jerry, though, voted against the tush-push and all that. But yeah, you know, it's like, hey, why not? If you can, I'm surprised they didn't get Taylor Swift to come in there and try to, you know, do something, right? Why not? You know, kind of connected, bring her in, add that to the mix. Maybe that'll be one of her new songs, the Tush Push, can add to her next album or whatever. But yeah, listen, I'm glad they kept it, and it's not over yet, though, because I'll bet you guys dollars to donuts, next year or 2 years from now, they'll revisit this because Roger Goodell doesn't like it. And that came out in the meeting, and he deputized the Packers to do the dirty work for the NFL. They only need to get, there's nine teams other than the Eagles that voted to keep it. And if everyone else keeps their vote and then they can get two of those nine teams, then the tush push will be gone. So if the Eagles are still great, again, there's no reason to think they're not going to be good for the next couple of years. And this is something that's going to come back up, and we'll revisit this in the future.
Ben Maller, is the Angel Reese Caitlin Clark rivalry the best one in sports? Because I think it is right now.
Well, it's good because it's not anything to do with basketball, right, Bob? It's not like I haven't spent too much time on the overnight talking about it, but it has nothing to do with basketball. There are people who are in danger of losing their jobs because of a WNBA rivalry, which is insane to me. Like, it's I still can't wrap my mind around some of these guys who are so passionate about this that they're crossing the Rubicon and getting themselves in trouble. But it's great because it plays on, you know, it plays on a lot of – there's people that don't really care about the WNBA, but they have an opinion on Caitlin Clark, like most people, Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese, and you've got, like, the good versus evil. But who's the good? Who's the evil? It depends on which side of the aisle you're on. So, yeah, it's got all the ingredients, and it seems like they genuinely don't like each other, which is kind of cool. Because so many of these sports rivalries, they pretend like they don't like each other. But I think if you got these women behind closed doors, they would say, no, they actually hate each other, which is wonderful.
Ben, is there a theory that voter fatigue has officially hit the world of sports nonstop? Because I thought of this last night. Yeah. I thought Lamar Jackson was the MVP in the NFL. It went to Josh Allen. I thought Nikola Jokic was the MVP in the NBA. It went to SGA. By the way, everybody hates the fact that he won the MVP. Not everybody really hated the fact that Josh Allen won it, but bigger snub, Joker or Lamar Jackson?
Yeah, so I actually didn't have a problem with SGA winning the MVP. I'm in the minority. Unpopular opinion, Dusty. Voter fatigue is obviously part of it, but the Thunder won 68 games. He was the star player on the team. He led the NBA in scoring, and generally speaking, if you do that, you're going to win the MVP. And the Nuggets were not as good this season. And you can sit there and it's Jerry Jones say you can dissect the mosquito or you know what to a mosquito. But it's a case where I don't have a problem with SGA winning. I don't like the style of play, but that's allowed. Like the people were making a big deal about the fact all season he was baiting, getting foul calls, and that's how he played his game, and that's how he got all these points. And that's, but he was like 27th in foul shot attempts for an MVP. So that's, you know, it's in the margin of error. He wasn't in the top 20 or the top 10 or the top 5 or anything like that. To answer your question, voter fatigue is legit. To answer your question even further, I would say Lamar Jackson more than Josh Allen. But I didn't have an issue with SGA winning the MVP.
Ben, we appreciate the time as always. Enjoy the the second game of the Knicks and Pacers tomorrow night. And we'll talk to you again next week.
All right, thanks, guys.
That's Ben Maller with us here on 96.5 The Fan, all brought to you by The Landing in Liberty. You got to go get those Ben Maller chicken tenders at The Landing in Liberty and enjoy the Bob's Big Pretzel as well. Mm.
All right, Mac, let's hit it. 7:30.
One word.
First name is Blake, and he goes on a cruise. He goes on a Caribbean cruise.
Katie Holmes.
No. Ah!
Are you listening?
What's your least favorite thing about working with yourself?
Body odor.
You get one word.
On the count of three, name your favorite dinosaur. One, two, three.
Velociraptor.
This is One Word on Fesco and Dusty.
All right, here we go, Dawson. Shout out to the 7-year-old whose favorite segment is One Word. So,
heck
Mac,
yes.
Make Dawson's day.
All right, Dawson, here we go. We're starting with the Royals, bud. One word on the Royals' offensive explosion yesterday. 8 runs for the Alts.
Well, you took my word, explosive.
Oh.
Dang it.
The explosive Royals offense yesterday with 8 runs.
Breathtaking.
That's a good one.
They had 3 runs by the third inning. They had 3 runs in 3 games. It was
Seriously.
Breathtaking.
Oof. It was awesome.
And to think that was the day that you needed that sort of production because you didn't have a starter. One more bullpen game to go, and then hopefully we're done. That was what Vern was saying yesterday about the sophomore album. Maybe they're a little punk. Maybe they're a little grunge. Kyle Isbell, who saw that coming? Michael Garcia, the backup singer that now is the front man. Bobby Wood Jr. still leading on the guitar. So breathtaking with that offensive explosion.
And then you got the vet bassist who just does what he does, and he came back yesterday with a home run opposite yard. It had been over a month for him. Manager Cotrera on the show yesterday called it, said he was going to get hot. We should have bet it. One word on Salvi finding some offense.
Nice. Calming. Just for maybe for a day. Maybe breaks out. Who the hell knows? But for a day, everything was right in the world.
Reassuring to know that it's still there at an effective rate. You call out the captain says, hey, idiots who talk for a living, who can't hit a baseball if their life depended on it. Watch this. So good for Salvador Perez. More of that. I don't need it every game, obviously. I don't need it 3 games out of 5. Mm-hmm. I just need it when you need it, if that makes any sort of sense.
And Salvi, though, too. I mean, like, nobody's hitting in baseball this year, right? So, I mean, it's just kind of normal for what's going on.
No doubt.
But it was good to see him have that kind of success yesterday. But I think it's more of more about baseball today than it is about anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, how many dudes are hitting over 300 right now in the game? I don't know, 10?
Yeah, I think we did it the other day. I think it was less than 20. Yeah, I really think it was.
Yeah, it definitely was, yeah.
You know, Aaron Judge is hitting 400.
I heard that. Yeah.
Game-tying RBI yesterday, too. Clutch, regular season.
Big day in the NFL. We'll get to all of the rule changes or not rule changes, but the story that took over in the NFL was Colts owner Jim Irsay's passing at 65 years old. One word on Jim Irsay.
Young. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize he was only 65 years old. That was one of the first deaths that I can remember where my friend group, which is mid-40s to mid-50s-ish, all kind of texting each other yesterday going, damn, he was young, right?
Yeah.
That kind of hits us as, you know, late 40s now. 65 is not old at all. Very young. Also very sad. Very, very sad. Troubled life, you know, Jim Irsay lived with the addiction and all that kind of stuff. So sad, you know, troubled, but young is the first thing that I think of.
Shocking, right? 65 came out of nowhere. Bob sent the text. I was like, no. And then and then immediately, like we all do, straight to the internet. Like, then it was just everywhere. By the way, 21 players hitting 300 or higher.
There we go.
Mikel Garcia, 8th on that list.
That's insane.
There you go.
We have 2 on that list. We have Bobby and we have Mikel Garcia. Damn. 2 of the 21 players in baseball. Mm-hmm. 26 times 30 will give you how many major leaguers there are, right? Whatever number that is, 1,500 roughly. There's 21 of them that are hitting 300 or better. We have 2 on our team. We're doing okay.
Mikel Garcia has the most games played, 2 at 50. Aaron Judge leads the way at 402. The next best is Freddie Freeman at 368. Bobby Wood Jr., 17th on that list. And Mikel Garcia, 8th.
That's crazy. Nuts. So, while we're upset with Salvi, perspective is, ain't no one hitting themselves out of wet paper bag in Major League Baseball this year.
Yeah, and the Royals have one of the best records in baseball with a struggling offense.
Yeah, struggling or normal? Because maybe we're going to have to view the way that or change the way that we view of what offense is supposed to be in baseball, because it's pretty much ass.
Caglione's hitting over 400 in AAA, by the way.
2 for 5?
Nope. Yeah, sample size. One word, tush push. We all thought it was going. It stayed.
I mean, all the insiders thought it was going.
Yeah,
and
everyone.
Diana Russini deleted her tweet where she said that's very weak. That's sad.
Like that.
I'm out on that, man. That's a very weak move. Everybody had it wrong. They had a debate about it, which is really good. Knowing going in, it looked like they were going to get rid of it. Then they talked about it, and people changed their mind. Holy, what an amazing way of doing things, right?
God bless Diana Russini.
Don't delete that tweet. Who cares if you got it wrong?
Yeah, no one cares.
Yeah. Tush push not being banked. Good.
Good. I mean, love it.
Yeah, good. Come on now. Like, what are we doing here, right? Compton yesterday to the Michael Vick 04 Madden player. Don't like it. Beat it.
Exactly. Spags will beat that tush push. I guarantee you. That will be the last thing he does as defensive coordinator in this league. He will beat the tush push.
He did it against the Bills last season. Now he got to do it against big dogs and the Eagles. 10 teams, 22-10 was the vote. 2 votes short on passing that.
You
ban.
Watch week 2, right? Is it week 2 when the Eagles roll in here? Week 3, whatever it is.
Week 2 or week 3?
Week 2.
That tush push ain't going anywhere. And everybody, Spags will shut that son of a gun down in week 2. You watch.
We just got some meat up front to help out, so hopefully that helps. 10 teams voted to keep the tush push in the game. Browns, Dolphins, Eagles, Jaguars, Lions, Jets, Patriots, Ravens, Saints, Titans. One word on the Chiefs not being one of those 10 teams to vote.
Well, predictable. I mean, you had to vote against it if you're the Chiefs, right? You got Buffalo and you got Philadelphia. Yeah, of course you're going to vote against it.
Yeah, I don't know. PTSD? Because then the Eagles said the last successful tush push and they showed the Super Bowl. Woof.
Yeah, that sucked.
Chris Jones lined up sideways and all that. Yeah. Like that's not the answer, Spags, by the way.
Yeah. Nope. If you want it banned, let the Chiefs figure out how to do it. Then they'll ban it.
One word on the Eagles owner, Jeffrey Lurie, using a wet dream analogy to describe the league wanting to ban the tush push.
Interesting. I don't know that I would have gone that route, especially with mixed company in the room.
Yep.
Crass. Shows you what an old boys club that ownership group really is.
100%.
Even with ladies in the room, it's ignorant. Yeah, you got to be better than that, Jeffrey. You really do. It's 2025. That stuff doesn't fly anymore. No. Mm.
Interesting. That's where he went with the comparison. I mean, just went to his eighth grade self.
Yep. Yep.
Waking up like he ran a damn marathon, wondering why he's got a. Anyways, yeah, I don't. That's wild.
It is wild. And then the last one here, one word. Brock Bowers. We're getting little training camp, early OTA videos coming out, press conferences. Brock Bowers. These are his comments on his new star running back Ashton Jeanty.
What are your first impressions of Ashton Jeanty?
Oh, he's a beast. He's a beast. He's out there. You know, he's quick. He's fast. He's rocked up. He's thick. So he's pretty good.
One time I'd like a player to say, I mean, I don't know. The dude hasn't played in the NFL yet. We'll see when he plays in a real game. Like, just come out and say something like that. Like, he may look good, but hell if I know if he's going to have any success in this league. It's a hard league, man. I like to see Brock Bowers say something like that, but I don't like anything that's good with the Raiders.
I will say he's right, and then I will say four words: rocked up and thick. Is that what he described him as? Rocked up and thick, rocked up and meaty, something like that. I mean, Jeanty's a stud, man. Like he's gonna be that guy.
He's rocked up. He's thick.
Man, yeah. Rocked up and thick.
I mean, is he the next dude awesome. From Tennessee, King Henry?
Yeah, could be. Could be.
And but again, I mean, we couldn't stop him 69 yards later and Frank Clark telling me to go screw myself or whatever the hell he did that day. And then James Palmer trying to steal the interview as he did.
Not trying, did.
Jeanty paid their kicker, by the way, yesterday, Daniel Carlson, over six figures is the number that's come out.
Six figures? That's only hundreds of thousands.
Over hundreds of thousands of dollars for the jersey number.
For the jersey number.
Yeah, he got number two.
I thought you said paid their kicker yesterday.
He did. He paid the kicker to get his jersey.
I misheard that. My bad. No, I thought you said they paid their kicker yesterday. I'm like, they only gave him $100,000? What the hell is that?
Good for Carlson, man.
Hell yes. It's good for Carlson.
Why not? You can have it.
Yeah. How much do you want? I don't know. $700,000. Fine.
Yes.
That's right. So I mean, look, you're a punter, kicker, one of the best kickers in the game, and all of a sudden you have the opportunity to absolutely get paid on the side. It's like when you were a server in the restaurant, nobody wanted to roll silverware, but then all of a sudden you're like, hey, you want to leave early? Pay me $20. I'll roll your silverware for you.
$20?
Oh man, I made like $80 quick in the restaurant industry.
How many rolls do you have to do?
Trip Taco, just $2.99. Comes with a big cube. This deal's so fine. Brisket breakfast, so much to choose. For $2.99, you really can't lose. Taco, 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 Taco. This deal legit. Taco, Taco, Taco. Only at Quick Trip. Taco to go, Taco to go, Taco to go. $2.99.
Like 40. They didn't want it. Oh, I know. Trust me, man. And when it was 60, I was that guy. Hey, Scott. I know you want to get out of here. I'll roll your silverware for like $20. Really? Here you go, dude. Dusty,
easy.
Why did
dude,
you roll?
That's easy cash.
Shout out Red Robin.
Taco to go. Taco to. And a big cube. Taco to go. Taco to go. Quick Trip Taco, just $2.99. Comes with a big cube. This deal's so fine. Brisket breakfast, so much to choose. For $2.99, you really can't lose. Taco to go. Taco to, this deal legit. Taco to go, taco only at Quick Trip. Taco to go, taco to go, taco to go, $2.99.